for the fact that senior members of the Art Museum staff, of their own will, wrote us letters to say, the painting you gave us was much admired this year at the meeting of the international group who came, and I thought you ought to know it. And I do want to add my own words about what she said in her letter. And she went on from the point of view of a very well-trained art historian and curator to say what this meant to them at the museum to have that particular painting.
What painting was that?
Well, it's a painting that my husband bought many years ago in the course of a trip, and I'm not... would you give me the chance to add to this later these few words, because I just want to be sure of myself about where we acquired that particular painting. And I do think that was at a great show in Italy, as I recall it, but I just want to be sure and I'm thinking correctly about this. Then yesterday came the letter telling us that Aaron Rothschild, Edmond Rothschild, is the person he called, would not be the chairman again. He would continue on the board, but he's turning it over to Felix Rohatyn of New York, and I was very thrilled about that, because Rohatyn is a very dynamic figure, and this will do the museum a great deal of good. And I wouldn't say that Lord Rothschild wasn't, he certainly was. And I do want you to know this, that at some point in the meetings, they receive a call from Paris, and there is that elder aunt who makes sure that she is, her voice comes in, and they, you know, augment the volume in some way, and everybody gets to hear what she has to wish us all, and to tell us what she's interested in right now that's going on. It's so wonderfully supported by them that I have come to believe that some of the great people in our faith, some of the great people in our group, you know, I'm talking about our people all over the world. This is why my loyalties just couldn't be shaken in terms of my feeling as a Jew. Well, they couldn't be shaken for lots and lots of reasons. But to think that so many hearts are right there, ready, you know, their hands are open, and they deposit it exactly where they want it to be, of the greatest help. And it's just wonderfully sustaining to the Israelis, because would you be able to imagine the tension of their lives and the possible fears, the possible emotional distress of their lives when they just think of these recent episodes, and when they think of the problems that are ongoing after all these years of working and selling. To think that almost all the time these have to be renewed in their impact on a next generation and a next generation. And that is very, that calls very deeply to me, because I know that I must make my children, I must try, and I feel I don't deserve any of the credit my children just naturally have, this wonderful sense of what it is to be part of that great thing that happened in our lifetime. I mean, I wasn't brought up that way. I didn't know that I had to be connected with the people. There weren't that many of them. I didn't have the experience, of course, of a classmate of mine, I think I told you, who went over because she had to accompany a grandmother, a very aged grandmother, who would have no other way but that she must go to Israel to die. That's where she wanted to be buried, and she must go there. And my friend remained there and married and had two sons. Including on another subject altogether, but I think this is fascinating. One is not only a very important executive, a business executive in Israel, in Tel Aviv, and I'll have something to say about that too. The other one did not stay there. He, in his maturity, came to America with his American wife, and they're American. They do not. They go back to visit, but they're not their citizens of Israel. And I want to get back to the one, the younger son is a very good flyer, and when the Prime Minister of Israel, of England, Mrs. Thatcher, came to visit Israel, he was assigned to pilot her around all over the country. His name is Avi Yashpe, and he's a great businessman besides being one of Israel's most intrepid, wonderful flyers. And he's married to the girl whose father had the great, whatever would be the big baking companies, you know, for commercial baking. And he's a big businessman, and he has come and studied at the business colleges, business at the university, business schools at the university. I love him. And during the big war, he gave me something to take home. I think I told you about this. It was an Arab flag. Oh, is that dirty and bloody? An Arab flag picked up by the officer of a foot soldier group who sent a note to him, to you, an intrepid flyer and great hero of mine, who never has a chance to pick up the trophies of war, and I give you this. And this man on the field had picked it up, and Avi said to me, please take it. I want you to have it. You are such a wonderful friend of Israel. You must take this home. Here was this bloody flag, and I had it all wrapped up in cellophane and everything. And I do take it out from time to time, and I think about the experiences, but I think about Avi. What a great person who to me, when they said, you fly Mrs. Thatcher around, it's not only that you're such a great flyer, you can explain this land better than anybody else. And with his mother, who went over there first to escort her grandmother, so her grandmother could die and be buried there. That's how she left. She was a college
maid.
Well,
this might be a good time to go on to the Yale experience.
Yes, all right.
What occasioned that, and
yes,
some of the people that you
met. Yes. I don't know whether you know that in recent months, I guess it would be, maybe more than a year, President Giamatti, G-I-A-N-E-T-T-I, of Yale, President Giamatti of Yale, made a number of pronouncements that were rather, I would say, that would have been nettling to the establishment in terms of who does get American opportunities? Who are the, are we living up to our democratic principles? What are we doing? How are we doing? And at that time, it was so brilliantly stated that my husband wrote him a letter commending him on our need in America to move away from some old concepts of what the American dream is and come more closely to what President Giamatti is talking about in the meaning of democracy. And President Giamatti himself comes of the highest possible authoritative voice, because his father was a great professor at Yale before him. He was a professor and then a dean and now the president. And it was a matter of great pride to many Yale alumni that a man who was not a New England Brahmin could become the president of Yale. And this became a pretty important matter to a lot of people, and well it might, and I think his credentials are so unassailable that no one could have in any way raise a single objection to his merit for this position. So my husband one day sat down and wrote him a letter. letter. I really don't remember too much about that letter. But in about a week or 10 days, a letter came in handwriting from President Tenali saying, I am up here at, in one of the Massachusetts, a lovely little bays where you sail and swim and, you know, real summer enjoyment place. And they undoubtedly had a place up there. I am up here at Martha's Vineyard, that's what it was. And my wife has just called me on the phone to say that I have received the most wonderful letter. It was yours, said Tamati in his letter. She then sent it to me, and I immediately called my father, or his father had been a professor at Yale, I think I mentioned that to you, because I wanted to share it with him. And he said, he went on to compliment my husband on the issues he presented, and to say that he looked forward to carrying on the correspondence. In not too long a time after that, he said, will you be thinking about a convenient time for you to come here to see us? And of course we were, and he said, bring Mrs. Lowenthal. He said, you know, we have many women on the campus now, and I think this would be very nice. So at that time we arrived, this was last fall, and he, President Giamatti, had thought it all through so carefully that he had a special house arranged that he wanted us, that is, that they all live in houses, you see, they have, you belong to a certain house, that's the way you do it. And he wanted us to be at that house because he had a special feeling about the master of the house, it's not called a headmaster, the master of the house, and I would say probably his wife. I'll start by saying the wife of the headmaster is the niece of David Ingalls, a very famous family in Ohio, not only a famous industrial family, but David Ingalls, I believe, was a senator of the United States. I'm almost sure he was Senator David Ingalls. Very distinguished the family, and very distinguished political role they have played in America. And I believe that he went on international missions for the government. And when the former president of Yale became the ambassador to England, this was the president of before Giamatti, I'm almost sure David Ingalls was very much in the picture in his role as a Yale alumnus and as a distinguished citizen and so forth. Well, anyway, I don't know all the reasons why President Giamatti assigned us to this house. But I will say, it was a beautiful mixture of people, including a lovely Chinese girl, by the way, the men and girls who did not, a Chinese girl who wrote to her mother about us, and the next thing you knew, we got a letter from her mother saying, my daughter has written about you, and we want very much to tell you how she appreciates your wonderful meeting with the students. This is the mother of this girl. It's from a town right outside of Washington, D.C., Alexandria, Virginia. That's where she was from. A beautiful letter from this girl. Now, this was only one of the things that happened to us as a result of this. A young man came up to us right after the first talk there. I said a few words, and my husband talked at greater length. He was the Yale person, after all, you know.
Excuse me, where did he give the talk?
Right in the house.
Oh, in this house that you were...
The students were told to come after the supper hour, you know, and be there. So a young man came up and said, I would say shyly almost, Mr. Lowenthal, would you know my grandfather from Pittsburgh? And so Alex said, who's your grandfather? And he said, his name is Nathaniel Spear. Of course, Alec knew him very well. He was his age, I would say, and we had known him very well. And we had run into him in New York not too long before that because he is a great collector. Nathaniel Spear is absolutely marvelous Judaica. It's marvelous. I mean, he has a Torah that I think would grace, you know, some fabulous collection, because, well, his is probably that. I don't know too much more about all his collecting, but this little grandson, who was rather shy and didn't have anything to say except, would you know my father, your family, spirit? You know, I said, well, of course I know him very well, and I just saw him not long ago in New York.
What is the subject of your husband's talk?
All right. He really talked along the lines of Jamadi's own speech, which was, any day has come in education as well as in other institutions in America, we must look to the outward reaches of education to be sure to make them more available to all who merit the chance and who can help to promote it further along the lines of what America must have in the way of education. The last words haven't been said at all on this. Not only that, he spoke from various points of view of his own. I mean, partly as a businessman. You know, even though my husband's been retired for many years, he does carry on certain interests that he has, deeply rooted interests, I mean, even in a business way, that he's involved in certain investments and certain ideas and things. And I think his whole being is tested in everything he does, whether it's in business or in his leisure hours or in his personal life or anything else. His whole being is involved in it. And I would say he teaches, he taught this so well, at least to our daughter, who was more, more a learner than anybody I've ever known. Because she was, I think I told you, she led her class at Winchester and went on to Harvard and was Phi Beta Kappa in her junior year. And her friendships were all of a certain kind. I don't know whether I did mention this. I think,
yeah,
if I did, you stop me on the fact that you used to spend weekends
and
Adele is still her very best friend and is devoted to her. I mean, they're devoted to each other. Adele has two little children now Mary has the two children. And Adele is president of Hampshire College and carries out, I think she's an inspiration to Mary, in addition to Mary being, because Mary's the inspiration to her, because Mary is so great a scholar, and it is true, Mary was Phi Beta Kappa in her junior year, and Adele wasn't Phi Beta Kappa at all. But Adele had so many other, you know, things to offer, president of Hampshire College.
What is Adele's last?
Well, Adele Smith Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S. So,
and these talks that Lowenthal gave, yeah, are you saying that he feels that our institutions, particularly the educational ones, become too elitist or have gotten away from the original?
I would say he didn't feel that it necessarily, but he feels that the struggle has to be to be aware of the problems in the world and the solution of those problems. And, for example, the step forward that he used this example, the step forward Yale took in taking women in, was so tremendous, my husband feels, and he made a very special point of saying what he, as an old alumnus, never understood he was losing out and he was missing. And this was a very good thing. Oh, the women appreciated very much what he had to say about this and the encouragement they have to feel all the time. And it's more acute where they're in constant, in the constant flow of the classroom with the men. You know, some schools don't even do it that way, and I think mostly they're all co-educational now, but I'm not certain of that. I'm not sure of that, but I know that Brown is. I'm not sure about Williams. I'm not sure about all of them. So it's trend-setting, and that's important, and it also makes them think further. And then the women took great heart from that talk. In the constant testing that has to go on in an educational institution of the person and of the institution. And I think my husband mentioned to you that three girls immediately came up and said, would you like, would you just go to lunch with us tomorrow? And they wanted to be sure that we heard, you know, from them, that we had a chance to talk with them, and they had a chance to talk with us. We liked that very much. And now, what else did he talk about? He also opened up the discussion to them to ask about the things. He was very firm about the fact that he had a deep and lasting interest in Israel. And believe me, there were some good questions on that score. And also, he was very firm about opening all the possible avenues at Yale that maybe tradition still doesn't regard as necessary, but that one must look at all traditions. And I think this was very heartening to everybody there. There is no end of examining where you are, where you stand, and I think he left no closed subject particularly. Now, I think I mentioned to you that the mother of an Oriental girl wrote to us, and I realized then that this must have made this girl feel that she wanted to tell her mother that we were there, and her mother wanted to know, could we come sometime and visit them in Virginia? I really just couldn't understand how people just open up. Well, there are some signal words, I guess, that say, you're democratic, you know, you really believe in freedom. I mean, there must be some words that somehow get into people's minds that say, we really believe in freedom, you know, some testing of some kind. I was interested when we went back to Yale this year. Of course, the headmaster of that house explains us, and we had to have a room there. And
was this a return trip or the first trip?
This is the second. We just went back.
Just back again.
Yes, we were just back.
Did Mr. Lowenthal speak again?
Let me think. Oh, I know what it was. You know why we were back there? Because my husband subscribed to their Judaica program during the time between our last visit and this visit. And I think I've mentioned this to you, the strongest possible backing has been given to Judaica both at Yale and at Harvard right now. Did I mention to you that we had subscribed to the Harvard Judaica program? That was the first one that came up. And Harvard wrote and sent out a letter saying that they wanted very much to strengthen their Judaica holdings, the libraries, and they wanted very much to strengthen their Judaica program for everybody's benefit. And would we subscribe? And in order to subscribe, you paid a very substantial amount, and you received a book plate that would put on certain books in the Judaica Library. By the way, this was to enhance the Judaica Library primarily. And then you also received some of those book plates for yourself, you know, to say this is a Harvard Judaica book plate. My daughter was asked by her father to participate in this, to give part of the money. His nephew, who is a Harvard Law School graduate, very much offered immediately to participate, and our son, who was went to Harvard, was asked by his father, and his father had to lend him a little money to take part in this, because you cannot have your name on this Harvard book plate without, contributing a substantial amount that entitles you to be in their Judaica group. My daughter said, if they would use my money for Judaica applied to Jewish women, I will be glad to pay my share. So her father said, will you write the letter in that vein and I'll submit it. So they did, and I want you to know that the man from Harvard expressed the warmest thanks for her proviso and said that without a doubt, they may not only feel that way, but they will be spurred to do more on this subject as a result of this very strong statement that she made. And by the way, she backs that up because she's working on a book, I think my husband mentioned too, she's working on this book. And she gave, I think, one of the most brilliant lectures I've ever heard given. It was a live lecture on Charlotte Solomon, the artist, who was a victim of the Holocaust. And when Mary was in England at that, I think I told you, she went over to Holland to do some personal research on Charlotte Solomon. The Stanford Memorial Auditorium was jammed when they sent out word that she would have a slide lecture on Charlotte Solomon, because you really can't present a painter without slides of some of the work. So she told the life, which she couldn't have had pictures for, you see. She told the life and used the paintings as a way of presenting it. Now, I think I've really talked about
it. I'm going to tell you how
long. Are you?
Yes.